and Ray Chattery, a deacon for the month of November. We'll read Psalm 100 this morning. You can follow along on the screen or page 541 in your pew Bible. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning. It is truly a pleasure to be here today, and I thank God through Jesus Christ for allowing me to be here on this beautiful November morning. I thank you, Pastor Bruce, for giving me this opportunity to present this message this morning, which, as already commented, is already on the right path in my July 1st message. I don't have just one, I have two pair of glasses today. So, and my notes, if I need them. Some of you may have noticed that I haven't been here for quite some time. In fact, the last time I was here was the first Sunday in October. It's not that I don't want to be here. It's just that I have to be somewhere else. And right now, that is the MedStar Washington Hospital Center. God has called me to the chaplaincy, and he has blessed me by allowing me to be a part of the chaplain intern program there. And I thank him every day for giving me that opportunity to walk that path and to do his will. On the first day, September 6th, we were told that being a chaplain would stretch our faith. And in fact, we started with 12 chaplains, and now we are down to 8 because they could not or would not compromise their faith tradition to give spiritual care to these people. In fact, in the beginning, it did stretch me a little bit. I think it was the second week, maybe the third. Give myself a little leeway here. I actually told Pastor Bruce that this was tough. But I eventually remembered that it was God who called me to be here. And he knew that I have the strength to be able to do this job. So as it stretches some, it has actually strengthened my faith in God, being able to minister to people other than my own faith tradition. The very first day, I was assigned 2 units at the hospital, the neonatal intensive care and the surgical oncology. Pretty tough units to work. And I have been asked to do some things that I can understand why some chaplains have walked away. When I visit with a patient or the family, I'm not walking into our church with a congregation of like-minded believers. I am walking into their church, per se. So I have to kind of work a little of their faith traditions. Since I started, I have been by the bedsides of over 500 people. I don't use the word patient, by the way. They're people that I get to minister to. During that time, you can imagine the diversity of our area, the Washington, D.C. metro area. Those numbers translate to our patients in cultures and faith traditions. I've been by Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, pretty much every major Protestant denomination, Buddhist, Hindus, those that believe in a higher power, and atheists and agnostics. When I am on call, I carry a pager and a cell phone with me. Granted, not many non-believers call me. But when we do visit with a patient, some of the information that we get is their faith tradition. When you're admitted into the hospital, that's one of the questions they ask you. So when I am called, I can go to the computer and find out. They're Roman Catholic, they're Baptist, I can prepare on my way. But it's at the times that when I'm on call, which tonight I have a 12-hour shift, that I'm the only chaplain in the hospital. for 976 beds, a level one trauma center, and an emergency room that is always full. At these times when my pager goes off, I have a minute to 5 minutes to respond to every code in the hospital. So I don't know what I'm stepping into at that time. Those are when I come into contact with those that say they do not believe in God. And depending on what poll you choose to recognize, it says that there's like 24% of our population does not believe in God. That also translates to the people. I step to the bedside after the doctors and nurses have stabilized them and we're waiting for lab results or an OR to open, or they're just waiting to go home. I walk up, and that's where my job comes in. Once I introduce myself, which the first couple of times was a little awkward and reminded me of the first time Pastor Bruce and I went together to visit somebody here at the congregation, and the first words out of their mouth when we walked in the door was, "Oh my God, I don't need you, do I?" Chaplains have a bad, we're seen as those that come when you're going to die, but we're there all the time for whatever you were in the hospital for. So I've had to learn how to put a twinkle in my eye, a smile, raise my voice a little bit so people don't basically freak out, because they do. This is when I come in contact with those that say they do not believe in God. And as soon as I introduce myself, they say, "Sorry, Chaplain, I don't believe in God. I don't need your services." I say, "That's fine. How about a friend? Could you use a friend right now? You're going through a pretty rough time in your life. You're alone. You're scared. How about we just talk?" I've only been turned away one time. Those numbers that are out in the polls, yeah, that's true. But when it comes time, when somebody actually needs God in their life, I'm finding that a lot of them do end up calling for God. So I spend time with these patients, people, and we are taught how to ask questions to get as much information out as we can, so when it comes time to pray, we can offer an effective prayer, raise him up to the Lord. I don't offer prayer to those that don't believe, but in the end when I ask, I have to go because my pager or my phone is rung. "Is there something you would like me to do?" And it's in the high 90 percentile range that ask for prayer. And that's not just me, it's the other eight chaplains. We get together every Thursday and we discuss the people that we have visited, and we are finding this throughout the hospital. It's wonderful and glorious how God works. So I've taken this information, their life, their children, their job, what brought them here, and I lift them up to God. When I am done, it's been a couple of dozen times that people were just amazed how in 15 minutes I can pray for them like that. And they ask me almost every time, "How can I learn to pray? Is there some rite or ritual that I need to learn in the Bible?" And I don't get into a big theological discussion. I just ask them, "What do you want to pray to God for?" "I want to thank him for surviving the accident. I want to thank him for surgery. I want to ask him to continue to be with me as I heal." So I said, "You know, that sounds like a pretty good prayer to me. You want to thank God for saving your life. You are glorifying God because you are recognizing that it is he that got you through this situation." So I've said this quite a few times, and I started to question, is it really a good prayer? And instead of coming and asking Pastor Bruce, I went to the source, the Word of God. There are many passages in this book to tell us to thank God, to pray to God, to give glory to God. In April, during the men's prayer breakfast, I spoke of prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18. "Pray continuously in all situations with joy, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And it reminded me of these people who, even though they're going through a hard time, they still want to pray to God and give glory. Non-believers. And I continued looking, and the Holy Spirit led me to Psalm 100. Make joyful noise to the Lord. It's wonderful. I can't sing. I wish I could. And no comment about it. Everybody can sing. We know that Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. It started bringing up a memory that I have lost for 30-some years. I was 10. And it's about my grandfather, Peepaw. Peepaw and Jeemaw. And I'm sure many of us here have names other than mother, father, grandmother. My mother is actually Gigi. My Aunt Barbara's Bobby, and Aunt Flo is Hun. So, anyway, and I'm not going to tell you what mine is. My grandfather was a patriarch of the family, Italian and German. They had 5 children. They all got married and had kids of their own. So when we got together for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, it was always a lot of people. Well over 30 people would be at these gatherings. And we would all belly up to the pool table because that had to double as the buffet table. There was so much food. And we would wait for Peepaw or Jeemaw to say grace. Well, this year, I'm only 10. My grandfather looks at me and says, David, would you say grace? Well, I think that was probably my first pest control job. I could have caught every fly in the place with my mouth open. But I bowed my head and I kicked off in 5 seconds a 12-word prayer. I don't remember where I learned it from, but God is great, God is good. Thank you for the food. Amen. I kicked it out. Now, if my grandfather would have said, hey, when I first got there, I'm going to ask you to pray, I probably would have gone to the bathroom, stressed out for a couple hours, or hid underneath the bushes, and come back nervous and shaken, and said the exact same prayer, because that's what I knew. But he didn't, so it was probably a good idea. I looked up to see, you know how cousins can be? The eyes were rolling, or snickering, or whatnot, but they were more concerned about the food. But I looked at my grandfather, and he was just smiling at me. So that's a memory that I had lost for 30 years, but now that I have, and I'll never forget it again. So I wanted to know, is that just a child's prayer that we learn when we're young until we learn how to pray? Or is that a good, glorifying prayer to God? God is great, God is good. Well, God's greatness is everywhere. Every day we see it when the sun rises. When the sun sets, the stars, the moon, and nature and life itself, God's greatness is revealed to us. We can feel it and see him inside each and every one of us. God is good. Verse 5 tells us the Lord is good. Jesus Christ tells us in Luke 18:19, verse 19, why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, but God alone. So God is great, God is good. I am affirming that out loud, that God is God's greatness and his goodness. Thank you for this food, amen. When I was 10, I probably was saying just thank you for the food so I can get to chowing. But now when I say grace and I'm thanking for food, I'm thanking God for the entire process of bringing that meal to the table. From the very first little seed that is put into God's soil, God shines his light and rains upon that to raise these crops. We're thanking the farmer for caring and loving the land, raising it, the harvesters, the truck drivers that drive across country in 3 days so we can have that food in our stores. We're thanking the stockers and those that sell it. But we're thanking you, Mom, Dad, Peepaw, Jeemaw, Aunt, Uncle, those that have taken the time to prepare that list, to go to the store, to make that meal that we are all going to thoroughly enjoy in just 4 short days, for that person who is getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure that everyone coming to their home is felt loved and will have plenty to eat, who painstakingly will set that table to where nobody can touch it until it's time to eat, and that we all want to take a picture before we sit down. We're thanking everyone in the process. We're thanking God for each and every one of you for that. So now when I come to the bedside of those that say they do not know how to pray, I teach them the simple little 12-word prayer and explain to them that it's not the words that matter. Yeah, as a chaplain, I pray a lot of words because I'm with family and I'm bringing them up to God. But when we pray to God, it's all about here, what's here. He knows why we're saying thank you. So thank you, God, is a pretty good prayer. I would like to take this time now to not just close in prayer, but to invite each of you to silently bow your heads and offer thanksgiving to God for a blessing that he may have bestowed upon each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, we lift up our prayers for your glory. We give thanks unto you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us today, yesterday, and for our lives. We thank you for your continued presence in our life. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glasses.
Reverend David Potter is serving as a chaplain at Washington Hospital Center because our church ordained him to the ministry and commissioned him to that special place of service. It reminds me about the value of the church, having a community of believers to support you, to pray for you. A place where you can come as a fellow Christian and share your faith story with us and your faith journey. And we are all a part of this community of believers. Some of us have been a part of this church for a long time. Others are maybe here for the first time, but you're among family here, a family of faith. And we invite you every Sunday to consider becoming a part of our church family, to renew your commitment to Jesus or to make a profession of faith in Jesus for the first time. As a Baptist church, we practice believers' baptism by immersion, meaning that people are baptized not as infants, but as people who understand what it means to be baptized, who willingly, voluntarily follow Jesus as believers in baptism. Next Sunday, we'll be having a service of believers' baptism. And if you've not been baptized on the basis of your faith, we invite you to make that commitment this morning and to be baptized next week. Or maybe you were baptized a long time ago. You've been a Christian for a while, but you're not a part of this church family. We invite you to unite with us by transfer your membership on the basis of your previous profession of faith in Jesus. We are followers of Jesus together as a family of faith. And we invite you to become part of this family of faith. If that would be your decision, as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, you're invited to come to the front of the sanctuary and to share that decision with me. Let's stand together and sing "For the Fruit of All Creation."